a house of humans. Peter is a stone. You know, and the city was laid with stones, and in them are the names of the 12 apostles. Not merely Peter. On the rock, what rock? On the rock, and I just saw this in another sense, the rock of the believers. On the faith of those first followers, the rest was built. But not merely Peter. Also, I mean, you could look at it in that sense, sure. It's on the rocks of the confessors, those who confess him, but not Peter alone. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I mean, there's no reason to interpret that in the Catholic way. I mean, that's what I'm fighting against here, is the Catholic way. Oh, the Catholic way. Says this, says that. The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I always love when people imagine the gates of hell, you know. There's little devils at the gates, right? The gate is the power to retain. The gates of hell, here's Hades again. Remember, there are different words translated hell. This is Hades. It means the grave. The gates of hell are the thing, it is the power which holds people in death. And death will not hold God's elect. Death will not hold them, because the gates of hell shall not prevail against God's ecclesia, church, which means called out. Literally means a called out assembly of people. People called out. Those that are called and chosen and faithful. That is what the word church has in it, embedded this idea of election, selection, the calling. Not many are called. Not all are called. Many are called, but few are chosen. Paul, that sounds like a bunch of contradictions. No, well, it means overall there's not many that are called. But when you look at all the called together, there are many called. But when you take about that, there are very few chosen out of those who are even called. Well, that's confusing. Just think about it for a while. The ways in which, from different perspectives, you have to consider perspectives. A lot of stuff has perspective. And it's not like changing spirits that everything's very stark, black and white. Well, the gray area can be when you lack the proper perspective to look at things, and then things get gray. But from the right perspective, everything is very clear. It's only gray to those who try to straddle one point of view and see everything from every point of view. You can't do that. The gates of hell. That is reference to the resurrection. Resurrection is how we will overcome. The gates of hell will not prevail against us, because we will rise. And hell, death, the state of death, the grave will not keep us. But the hour is coming, and is when all that are in their graves shall hear his voice and come forth, said the Lord Jesus. Some to the resurrection of life, and others to the resurrection of damnation. It is reference to the resurrection of the dead. The dead are in their graves waiting for that day. I will give to thee the keys of the kingdom. Whatsoever thou shalt bound on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth. That is a Hebraism, which means a Hebrew figure of speech that means, I will give you authority. I will give you the authority of the kingdom, the keys, and the authority to bind and loose, to say that which should be binding and that which should not be binding. You know, and you see them exercising this authority in the book of Acts when they're like, okay, you don't have to be circumcised. Okay, you don't have to do this. Gentiles don't have to do this and do that. They don't have, you know, they had power to declare what was binding and what was not binding. What laws would apply and what laws would not apply. And what was righteousness and what was not righteousness. And they exercised it in the beginning. And that's why I follow the doctrine of the apostles. I don't just follow, some people say, well, let's look at the red letters only. Well, that's to deny. I look at the red letters here and it says, I give you the keys of the kingdom. So when I read in Peter, you add to your faith virtue, to your virtue knowledge, to knowledge temperance, to temperance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness and patience, etc., etc. When he says, add to your faith these things. When he says, and when the apostle Paul does similarly things, and Peter testified of Paul. When I hear those things testifying of each other, and binding and the loosing, I accept those things. Some people say, Christ is the only authority I pay attention to. Well, you know what? Then you're not paying attention to Christ, because Christ gave Peter authority. Christ gave the authority to his apostles. apostles. Now, I don't think it transfers in perpetuity to successors to the apostles, like the Catholic Church. Everyone wants to grab onto this authority. Everyone wants to take hold of the keys of the kingdom and steal them away from Peter, to whom they were rightfully given. But no, Peter and the apostles had the authority, and they laid down everything they thought we needed to know in the Gospels and in the epistles. And you know what? And another thing, Jesus didn't write a word. So there are no such thing as these red letters. These are the words of Jesus. No, these are the words of Matthew. This is the account of Matthew. This is the account of the confessors, those who confessed the name of Jesus Christ. This is the rock on which the church is built. The confessions of the apostles, the confessions of the prophets of the New Testament. You know, that's why I don't look to brother so-and-so, and father this-and-such, and the Pope, and all these different people who want to take the authority from the apostles and steal it away and mix in the leaven of their false doctrine and their false teachings, and to pervert the minds of people away from the simplicity, from the clarity, from the transparency of the gospel, which is truth. They want to take it away, and they want to claim it for themselves. I do not listen to that. And neither should you. Don't listen to any so-called person who claims they have authority from Peter. Peter exercised his authority and they laid it all out. Here it is. Here's a rock. Build your faith on it. This New Testament, this new confession of the faith of the apostles, that which the apostles confessed, that's what they committed to writing. That's what I believe. That's what I follow. That's what's binding. That's what's loosing. What is bound in this word is bound on earth. And what is bound in this word is bound on heaven. And what is loosed in this word is loosed on earth. And what is loosed in this word is loosed on in heaven. That is the binding and loosing. That is the confession of the apostles. What they confessed. What they left for us. This heritage of the Lord. The keys of the kingdom are right here in my hand in this word. You want to enter in the kingdom, then you must pass through Peter. You want to enter into the kingdom, then pass through Paul. Pass through Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, James, Jude. And the testimony of all those who also were with them. And some in their silence. You know, not all the apostles spoke, but they gave approval to their brethren by not speaking against them. So, well, what about those apocryphal gospels? Have you ever read those apocryphal gospels? I have. And I'll tell you what, I can tell the difference between a fake gospel and a true one. I do, because I have the Spirit of God. I can smell it. I can hear the words and the way, oh, no, this isn't right. You say, well, that's not scientific. I don't need to be scientific. Scientificness will never get you to God. You can't approach God by science. That kind of knowledge will never get you anywhere near God. God has set it up so that knowledge will lead you to a dead end.